Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted against the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. But everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and buffeted against the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
First week of Advent, the Church is continuously taking parts of sacred scripture to help us to learn from the beginning the types of dispositions we need to have with regard to the Lord we are saying, "Come." It's not enough, Jesus tells us at the beginning of today's Gospel, to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." There are many who do that. O come, Emmanuel. There are many who chant it. To invite him in means to construct our life on what he gives, on who he is, on what he says. In the first reading through the prophet Isaiah, we proclaim this morning that our Lord is an eternal rock. He's solid, he's unchanged, he's firm enough on which to build a foundation. And he comes into our world so that we can do precisely that. We focus throughout the season on the triple coming of the Lord, as written about by so many of the saints, the Lord's coming in history. We're called to build our life on his coming in history, on the incarnation, on what he did to save us, how he took on our humanity so that we could take on his divinity. Second, we focus on his coming in mystery. How he comes in his word and his sacraments, how he comes even through the events of the day and the others whom he sends us. We're called to build our life on him in those ways. And then in majesty, that the Lord will come on the clouds at the end of time, or we can anticipate it by focusing on how we will respond to the Lord when he comes at the end of our life. But with regard to the future, we're called to build our life on him, his words, and on the hope that we're supposed to have. When we do, Jesus tells us, we will be able to withstand the storms of life. He promises us here that the rains will fall, the floods will come, the winds will blow and buffet against us. We're going to have difficulties throughout life. But if we build ourselves on him, will be able to withstand those storms because he's stronger than the storms. He's an eternal rock. But for those of us who not only call out Maranatha, but don't build our life on him, those of us who hear his word, in the priesthood and religious life, we've heard his word even more deeply. We could basically do the liturgy, the hours, by memory after having prayed it for such a long time that there's the real rhythm there. Are we, so for those of us who have heard his word in this deeper way, there's an extraordinary gift, but then there's also a harrowing threat in a sense. The extraordinary gift is the solidity of that foundation, but the threat is that we will be among the greatest of fools. Everyone who listens to these words of mine, and we do with great attention, but doesn't act on them won't withstand those troublesome storms that will come eventually. And so for us, as priests and religious, we can say, I think if we're being most candid, that we do build our life in general on the Lord and His triple coming. We wouldn't be here if we weren't intent on doing that. So in general, we're responding in the way that the Lord asks. But the question is, what about those parts of His word that are more challenging for us? Do we really ground ourselves in His word to forgive 77s? To give people perpetual chances as He gives us chances? Or do we nurse that grudge? Do we really build our life on Jesus' word to chop off our hands and pluck out our eye? It's leading us to sin. If we've got that tendency in our life that we know isn't pleasing to Him, do we have a certain holy ruthlessness in asking for His mercy so that He can amputate that sin, so that the Father, the vine grower, can prune that part within us so that it doesn't remove the sap, but we can bear greater fruit? Do we build our life on the word when Jesus tells us, anything you ask the Father in my name, the Father will hear? Anything that we ask in His name, the Father will hear. Do we pray with that type of confidence, including in those circumstances that we think are somewhat desperate? Do we do this in memory of Him? And do we make our whole life Eucharistic? We could go throughout various parts of sacred scripture. In general, we do try to build our life on His word, thanks to His grace. But this Advent, as we ponder His coming, it's a chance for us to look at those areas of our life which we're still building on some other foundation. The foundation of old habits, the foundation of our own will, the foundation of our own way of looking at things, rather than on Him. To say, come Lord Jesus, should be followed up with the expression, because I want to build my whole life on You. So we prepare to receive Him. Let's ask Him for that grace.